my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Thank you. reading from the book of Numbers, the 24th chapter. And he took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Reading from the book of the prophet Micah, the 5th chapter. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Reading from St. John's first epistle to the church, the fourth chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Reading from St. Paul's epistle to Pastor Titus, the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you.
reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Thank you.
when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians rejoice at Christmas. Well, hopefully you're rejoicing this night. And there are many reasons why you may be rejoicing. Perhaps it's because you're with your family, or at least some part of your family, and you're rejoicing that you can be in one place spending time together. Maybe you're rejoicing because you're healthy after a lengthy time of sickness. Maybe there's reason to rejoice because you're anticipating the gifts that you will give or that you'll receive. Or perhaps you rejoice tonight because just even for a brief moment, you have a respite from the world around you, and you can finally just have a minute to sit and listen. Now, you might be thinking at this point, okay, now Pastor is going to let us have it. Tell us how terrible all these things are, and we're forgetting the real meaning of Christmas, and just try to rain on my joy like Ebenezer Scrooge. Well, to be fair, there's always a temptation all this tonight to rain on the parade of people at Christmas and react against the joy that people have. And while there may be some purpose in this, it fails to get to the heart of the matter and wanting to just put a bandage on the greater issue at hand and return dragging things that are good and godly through the mud. And pastors aren't excluded from this. I will often tell a people that my least favorite holiday in the church year is Christmas. There, I said it. I didn't used to be this until I was a pastor for a few years. The reason why it became my least favorite holiday is because it is the season of grumbling. My former district president in Iowa District East one time pointed out to me that this is the time of the year that most pastors have people complain to them, get angry at them, or just try to stir up trouble in the church. Now, the reasons are varied, but often they stem from a certain idea or notion of what someone thinks Christmas should or shouldn't be. And if the pastor or pastors or any other person doesn't do the exact way, the way you want them to be, then watch out. People also have a lot of stress as well during this time, and that just adds more fuel to the fire. But rejoicing tonight is good. You should be rejoicing. And your brothers and sisters in Christ should rejoice that you are rejoicing, pastors included. So what's the point then? Well, understand this properly and don't fall prey and be led into sin by your own fallen flesh, the world, and the devil. What you do want to pervert this day and turn your hearts away from the Lord. And so you are called to see the fruit of this rejoicing and joy that you have all around you surrounding this season because of the joy that is the Savior's birth. Because without the birth of Christ, there would be no real and lasting joy and reason to rejoice. Because sin, death, and the devil would have the final word. So let's think about that further and examine it. We know all too well that if Christmas is void of Christ, if Christ is pushed aside or downplayed, forgotten, or just simply a cultural reference, there's not going to be any lasting joy and rejoicing in Christmas. The joy of a Christless Christmas is going to try to latch on to whatever it can to build this joy and make it last as long as it can and be as meaningful as it can. Nostalgia and other things are the chief principles in forming a Christless Christmas. But the thing with this is that it's always in pursuit of joy, always looking for more rejoicing and finding no satisfaction or fulfillment. In a sense, it's the proverbial hamster on a wheel, running and going nowhere. But really, it's more serious. It's always going to try to outdo the previous experience. Kind of like an addict that builds up a tolerance to the drug and needs more of a fix to achieve a high or any type of sense of excitement. There are so many examples we can see with this, but just a case in point can be seen in most of your lifetimes. Think about it for a moment when it comes to Christmas and the culture. Now, don't think in terms of commercialization, although that's a symptom of it. Think just in broad terms and what's at the center. Think about Christmas when you were a kid. Think about what was being talked about, what was being sung about in any number of things. Then think about what the message developed into and what it is now. Now trace that line of thought and experience just in your own personal history. Or just think about the simple optic, what you see when stores would advertise for Christmas or offer Christmas-related items then versus now. So there's always going to be a reason, there's always going to be a message of Christmas. You can't avoid it. To take Christ out or put him on the bench or back seat and someone or something else must fill that void. And finally, notice how this compounds, and you must keep adding to this to the extent that the new understandings about what the season really means and celebration, they have to get bigger, they have to get better. But you know what happens in all of this. You've experienced it. There's disappointment in one way or another. And then you're forced to look at your current Christmas based upon standards that are constantly fleeting and subjective as you compare yourself with a Christmas that is not, well, whatever. Little things that would be reason to rejoice and be glad bring with them opportunities to think, boy, I'm missing out. It could be better. And then the devil has gotten the upper hand, and before you know what Christmas is, well, whatever it has become. Now, there is, to be sure, a danger in all of this, to get into a reverse snobbery, to turn the phrase of C.S. Lewis. It's not simply a back in the day things were better, but to get you to think about and examine your lives according to God's word in all this and see where you stand. It's a call back to the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, and see where you have placed your fear, love, and trust in, not just at Christmas, but your whole life. It's not just Christmas where this happens, but really anything you face in life. You can only put things out of sight and out of mind for so long, or think you've moved on past these things, or think that you're somehow special, or figure them out in a way to rationalize them, because you somehow can take some higher road than what God has deemed fit. But all of this is foolishness, and it has eternal deadly consequences. So what then? Lord, to whom shall we go? What does God say to you in all of this? Well, listen again to the preaching of the angel to the shepherds. Listen and know this is preached to you tonight as well. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And what a beautiful story that is. That's not just some familiar story, even though it's familiar. It's earth-shattering. Something to return to again and again, because you see something in all of this account. The prophet Haggai prophesied, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." So take all this to heart and see what it means. Go back to God's word and go with the shepherds who heard the message proclaimed by the angel. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The great Christmas hymn written by Paul Gerhardt, "O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is," proclaims this in stanza 4. "Thou Christian heart, whoever thou art, be of good cheer, and let no sorrow move thee. For God's own child in mercy mild joins thee to him, how greatly God must love thee." So you see, here's the thing. The heavens have been shaken. God has rent the heavens wide in the dark of night, and night has become day, as the light of the world dwelled with his people. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. So behold this night your Lord Jesus. He is God in the flesh who came to redeem you. Rejoice in Jesus born for you. The world doesn't know the joy that is found here in this place to which the shepherds ran with haste. Only with the eyes of faith can you see this day for what it truly is and rejoice with exceedingly great joy. See God in the manger. Here he is, a newborn, yet fully God. He alone who possesses and writes names in the book of life is the one who permitted himself to be listed among men, and least and poorest among them. God is in the manger just as he had been in the womb of the Virgin since his conception by the Holy Spirit. He is there just as he would be held in her arms and carried to Egypt as a king sent meant to try to kill him. And he came back to his own town just as God prophesied, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." God is there just as later when he was visited by magi who fell down on their faces and worshiped him, bringing him gifts. He is there just as he grew up in the small dinky town of Nazareth and traveled around preaching, teaching, and healing. He is there just as he would stand before a Roman governor, be condemned to death, was tortured, suffered, and died among criminals. He is there just as he rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples. God is man, man to deliver, and the Son now is one with our blood forever. So here is God in the manger. And it's this same God who did all these things because God is Emmanuel, God with us. Rejoice, be glad, dear people of God. That is who he is and what he does. To know God is to see Christ, who is God in the flesh. To behold Jesus is to see the God who came down from his heavenly throne to fulfill God's law perfectly for you, suffer God's wrath against sin, your sin for you, and die to satisfy that righteous anger in your place, and then rise from the dead for your justification. Seeing God in the manger is to see the Savior of the world born for you, who has saved you, as the scriptures proclaim this to all of you. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So, dear people of God, rejoice. Keep rejoicing. It's good. In Christ, there is real joy that informs and spills out into the rejoicing and regards each thing that you have as a gift, no matter how great or small it may be. Sure, sentiment doesn't define Christmas, but Christmas can be sentimental. Family doesn't define Christmas, but families rejoice in gathering at Christmas and being with one another. Your health, physical state, or situation in life doesn't define Christmas, but you can and should rejoice in what blessings you have been given during this time. So no matter the circumstance, Christ has been born for you. Even if you should be lying alone, taking your last breath in this world this very instant, there is joy this day. And we rejoice together. Light and life have come. Your sin is forgiven, and you have eternal life. You are his, and he is yours. Rejoice, rejoice with the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So don't lose sight of Christ, your people of God. Come with haste to where he is found in his word and sacraments, and celebrate with joy that your God is still here for you and delivers to you salvation. Hear this and take it all to heart tonight and see your joy in the Lord who was born in Bethlehem. And look around you and rejoice in the many gifts and blessings he gives you, whatever they may be, no matter how great or how small. Your Lord has given them to you. And most especially rejoice knowing that your Lord was born for you, as the angels proclaimed. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. My heart for very joy must leap. My lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song. Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us his Son has given. While angels sing with pious mirth, a glad new year to all the earth. Merry Christmas. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please be seated. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O God, you make this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known the mysteries of that light on earth, we may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, you make us glad with the remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son. Grant us faith to receive him joyfully as our blessed Redeemer, that we would forever sing your praises for the salvation you've given us in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.